Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome to the Journey Home Outreach Ministries Online Radio Show. I'm so excited to be here. This is Minister Horvath's segment, and I'm going to bring her on the air right now. Hello, my sister in Christ.
Hello, how are you today?
I am doing wonderful. You know, body weak, the spirit is strong. Keep that spirit ignited.
That's right.
You're right.
Awesome.
You're right. And so I didn't even go through the church announcements because I've been so excited about what God has been saying to you. I just get a feeling that it's something that's going to be good and edify him and our Lord and Savior. So I want to give you the floor early, if you do not mind.
I don't mind at all. Thank you so much.
Okay. Go ahead.
I'm always excited about what God shares because he shares it with me. You know, I mean, it's something that always awakens my spirit and causes me to think and live differently. And I'm always just very, very excited about it. And,
God,
you know, every month when I come to you guys, whatever it is that I'm talking about, I don't think I've ever said this before, it has a title, just like a sermon. You know, there's always a title to it. And I don't think I normally share it, but this time the Spirit revealed, you need to share it. And the title for today's segment is God's Living Light.
Okay.
Living Light.
We're taking a step further and also start naming the segments with the title so people can get to them quickly.
Wow.
Okay,
awesome.
We'll do that. Yeah, we'll just
that
do that.
That is so awesome.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. You have the floor.
Okay. So I want to bring everybody into this by first talking about the role of Christ. And I first want to talk about the fact that I typically say Christ and not Jesus. You know, one of the things that I've learned in the time that I've been preaching, which has been since about 2001, is that language is so important, and being particular about the words that you use is so important. And one of the things that I have looked at is that a lot of times when people say the word Jesus, not all the time, but a lot of the time, it is when we are identifying with suffering of some type, whether it is that we are suffering, whether we're talking about him being on the cross. It always usually is linked up with some type of suffering. But when we say the word Christ, it usually is linked with his resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And it brings forth a different vision of him, a different feeling of talking about him. And so I often use the word Christ because I want people to immediately reckon themselves to being in a position of power.
Exactly.
You know, Christ is not still on the cross.
No, it's victory.
You know what I'm saying? He has risen. And we as Christian people, we are in a position of power.
Mm-hmm.
And we should always remember that we are in a position of power. So the whole point is I look at Christ as coming here for two reasons. One is obviously salvation, to bring us back into right relationship with God, to bring us back into a place where we live eternity with him instead of being damned to hell, okay?
All
of us know and understand that, you know, we are seeking to get people saved as a result of that one thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing that Christ came for is to be an example of living within the kingdom of God while on earth.
Beautiful.
Okay, and I think that often we don't really recognize, we don't really look at that, because when we view him, we view him as Christ. And so even when we read the stories in the Bible about what he did and how he lived, I don't think we really grasp the glory of it all, because we're looking at him as Christ. But we have to remember, he was a person, he was a human being, just like us. He was not God when he was walking on earth. So the things that he did as man, if man was submitted over to live in God. He was a pure example of how we could live if we would live in God.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that he did, truthfully, that if we didn't learn how to live like him, that we couldn't do.
Well, he and the word speaks to that, too. He said,
yeah.
I am giving you power to go and do the following things, laying of hands. And he listed a list of things that he gave us dominion over and power over that we can still do today that he performed during that time. It was a living example of the power of God.
Absolutely. And I thought it was important to talk about that because a lot of people talk about things and they'll say, well, that was for then. It wasn't for then. It's for the life of the believer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm going to really talk about Christ and how he lived, you know, as light here. Well, some of the things that he did was he was unselfish. There was nothing selfish about him.
No.
When you look at the way he lived his life, if you were to study how they lived in community, he, the disciples, and all the followers, they really did live in community. You know how we often say it takes a village to raise a child? Well, for them, it took a village to live together. They lived and shared together. They were unselfish.
Yeah.
You know? Christ also was one who forgave. And one of the things that he did, he would forgive sins. And that really made those Pharisees angry. Those rabbis were angry because they said, who is he that he feels that he has the right to forgive sins? Only God has the right to do that. You know?
Right.
Christ also had great compassion. When you read the Bible, and especially when it talks about right before he performed a miracle, sometimes you'll see where it says he was filled with compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I've noticed within working in ministry myself, a lot of times when my heart has given over to love and compassion for a person, it's so much easier for me to minister to them and to help them.
Yes. I found that too. It opens you up. And
it really does.
To a place where you have to lie down south. There's no one for you. You have to be that compassionate and that was drawn into the person that you're spiritually connecting and not physically connecting.
Absolutely. The another thing that Christ did, as we all know, is that he taught. He was a teacher.
Yes.
But I don't think that we even recognize that he taught, not just literally taught, but just in the way he lived. I mean, the fact that we see his life in order to understand how to live, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think about the people that have the opportunity to see him. You know how when you are with people and you study them, you know, you watch them, you see how they behave in situations. I often wonder about what it was like for people who were able to follow him and watch him as he went from city to city and how he interacted with people and what he was like when he was teaching and what he was like when he was healing. You know, I wonder what it was like to listen and watch him in the authority in which he was taught, because the Bible often talks about how he would preach with such authority. Even in the synagogue, when he was young, he preached with such confidence and such authority.
And one of the things that I love that he always began, whatever he was teaching, was, it is written. He came
it
from
is
Scripture.
Written. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Straight
that's
Scripture.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And that's something else that I think that a lot of people don't look at. You know, the first half of our Christian Bible is the Jewish Torah. And he knew that. He knew that word.
Mm-hmm.
He knew it. that he not only knew it the way some of us know our word and memorize it. You know, some people have great capacity for memorization.
Mm-hmm. And some people butcher it up. You know.
But, yeah. But he also, he had understanding. He didn't only know the words, but he knew what they meant. And that's where some of us fail. So many of us may know the words, but mm-hmm. we are clueless as to what they really mean. And only God can give you that.
Exactly. You're absolutely right. Everyone should have a strong concordance and Bible dictionary.
Yep. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
God is the one that, you know, he gives us tools. He helps us to understand. You know, when people only know the word, you will find that often they can come into places where their word doesn't really match up. Because if
mm-hmm.
you just read the word, if you just read the Bible, you know, quite frankly, you could get confused. I mean, when you
mm-hmm.
just read those words and you don't really understand what they meant, if you don't really understand the way of that time, if you don't really have God teaching you,
mm-hmm.
you're liable to believe anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, one of the things my mom and I often discuss is we think about, you know, what it was like if you placed Jesus into time in a place in which he actually was. And we say, my God, no wonder a lot of people thought he was crazy walking around saying, drink my blood,
mm-hmm.
eat my flesh. You
mm-hmm.
know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't mean that literally.
No, but he
yet, you know.
Go
ahead.
This is right on point. Because to me, it always put the ball back in your court. He didn't
yes.
give you the answers. He gave you parables. You're going to think about
yes.
it. He requires you to process the words that he's
yes.
saying.
Yes, absolutely. And the other thing that I love about it, what I so love about the richness of God's word, is that you learn at the level at which you are.
Yes.
And what's wonderful about that is that you learn something, you bite it, you chew it, you understand it, you can live it, you incorporate it into your life. And then as you grow, when you read it again, that very same word, a broader understanding comes to you.
Right.
And then you can once again learn that, incorporate that into that. It is layer upon layer, as God said, precept upon precept. That's the way he teaches us, and that's exactly the way his word is. And that's the reason why it's a living word.
Yeah.
Because it grows with our maturity.
Absolutely.
It grows with it. So
mm-hmm.
I love the fact that he taught, and he taught in many different ways. And his
mm-hmm.
teaching was so profound. We're still trying to understand it today. People who are experts at history in the life and times of that time period are still trying to understand what Jesus meant.
Right. It is a constant debate, even
oh,
among
absolutely.
Churches. Yeah, even among ministers, that's still a classic
oh,
debate.
Yes.
You know, it's
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, and then another thing that he did was he provided for those that he was given charge over.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the thing that you know I want people to see, because this whole part is important. Okay, when you look at Christ, and you look at these things that he did, when he, as he grew, he accepted the charge upon his life. In other words, he accepted his calling.
Mm-hmm.
He accepted the platform of his calling. And he accepted the responsibility of his calling. And therefore, as he moved in the world and people were drawn to him, he accepted the responsibility of caring for them however he was supposed to. So
mm-hmm.
he delivered the word as he was supposed to, rightly dividing the word. He didn't just say any old thing. You know what
no.
I'm saying?
No.
He understood that this had a direct impact, not just on their living now, but also later. He understood
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
You know, there was a time when he understood that he wasn't going to be with them forever and that they
mm-hmm.
were going to be living without him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So he knew that he had to teach them in a way that this word was going to carry them even when
yes.
he was gone.
Yes. And even I'm sorry, but even the disciples, when he left, bickered about what he said. And these were the people who walked with him every day, who slept with him, communed with him.
Right.
But they couldn't
agree
totally on what he actually said. You know.
Absolutely.
Thank God
they
for the Spirit.
Remember, they really didn't have a full understanding. I mean, mm-hmm. when they just sent it to cast out demons or heal people, whatever, they couldn't do it. And he said, mm-hmm. How long am I going to have to be with you?
Right.
You know, he was exasperated by them at times. It's like, you're with me all the time. Like, really?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, seriously?
Seriously. And that was his attitude. And a lot of people get kind of itty about talking about that attitude that Christ had. But Christ didn't have an attitude of, let me try to tell you in a way that you can understand this. I mean,
and the other thing is that, in the Bible, it also talks about how he took his disciples, the inner group. The other thing that people need to remember is that, or maybe just know, is that it wasn't just him and the 12 that were traveling together.
Mm-hmm.
He traveled with a large group of people who were his followers.
Mm-hmm.
It was the 12 that were the innermost of those followers.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And then it was Peter, James, and John
mm-hmm.
that were the innermost three.
Mm-hmm. It was like a board.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that was common during that time. They
mm-hmm.
considered those groups to be schools.
Mm-hmm.
And it was common during those times when people had followers that's the way they followed. It would be no different than if, Joyce Meyer, Benny Hinn, Joseph Prince, all of them were, they were walking around and we
mm-hmm.
just were to pick one and follow one.
Yeah.
it was no different, So that's the way they were then. So he had a large group of followers that would follow him from place to place.
Mm-hmm.
So think about the fact that he had to care for this entire group of people. He was responsible.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't at home when they were walking all these miles. He couldn't exactly say, okay, well, go home and eat, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Absolutely not. Exactly.
He had to take care of them.
Yeah, exactly. Amen. Amen.
So you think about the responsibility, the maturity of someone of that age, especially during that time. He was young also to be doing this during that time. So he really was in such a wonderful place with God. Really, the communication that he had with God was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's no other way to look at it. And he accepted that he would trade off his life. But God
mm-hmm.
says, you're going to trade your life for them, but you'll be the first among many brothers.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be the
Absolutely.
First among many brothers. And when he said that, he was talking about those of us who would accept him as Savior and decide to follow him.
Yes. I was just saying, not only did he say, follow me, he showed you exactly what to do.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He said, I am the way.
I am the way, the truth.
I am the way, the truth, and the
truth,
life.
The
I am the way.
Yeah. Hello.
And the
Over
truth
here.
Is that, well, think about it. What do you need in order to move forward? You need to know the way. You need
mm-hmm.
to know what the truth is, and you need some light. You don't want to walk in darkness.
Right, exactly.
Okay. And
mm-hmm.
so what Christ did was give us an example as what it was like to live as God's light. Now, he is now living, with God and in all of us. But if people were to look around, seriously, if you look at the state of Christianity today, and just look at people in just their regular everyday life, I'm not talking about people able to do miraculous healings and all that. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about in your every single, everyday, ordinary life. If you look amongst all the people that say they believe him to be Christ the Savior, I'm not talking about just those people who go to church every Sunday.
No, no.
Although they are included.
Exactly.
Okay.
But we're talking about...
I would say that if you look at that group and you didn't put a title on our head or show people who believed in what, a lot of people wouldn't know who the Christians were.
But they
wouldn't know.
Yeah, and Jesus gave you a clue that you'll know they're from me by the things that they do, and that's what's so confusing
right.
with certain groups, that it's like you're not doing the things of Christ.
Right.
But you say you are, you believe and have accepted him as your Savior, but if that is so, then you would have his heart, his compassion, his gentleness and tenderness, and on and on. This is a very good topic, a very important topic that we're talking about, and I thank you for bringing it. Continue.
So I thought about that for a minute. I thought about, well, you know, there are always reasons why. You know, what stops us from being able to go to the next step with anything? You know, what stops Christian folk, people who really love God and believe in God? I mean, we don't set out to be wrong. We don't set out to live unrighteous lives. What is it that stops us from living this way? And I think that, I don't even think that most of us even think about it, really. I think that we just live. And when I started thinking about what causes us to behave in certain ways, at the top of that list was fear. The top of that list was many of us are afraid. Many of us have anxiety. You know, one of the biggest anxieties is that, you know, I often hear people say, well, I don't want people taking advantage of me, or I don't want to be taken for a fool. I don't want people to think I'm stupid. You know, it's all about how we think people are going to get over on us if we're too nice. You know, it's so interesting that one of the themes of my life over the past 5 years with people that I deal with is that they say that I'm too nice. Or I had one boss who said, you know, I want you to be meaner to your people. You're not mean enough. I don't believe in being mean.
Wow.
I don't practice mean.
Yeah.
I don't practice mean. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, when they talk about love, it says love never fails. Love never fails. And I'm a firm believer that you can love somebody to goodness. Love never fails. And just because you choose what people view as being the softer side, it doesn't mean that you're soft at all. It doesn't mean that you're going to let people just do whatever to you. It doesn't mean that you're, no, not at all. How can someone take advantage of you if you see it? The whole point of somebody being able to take advantage is that you don't know that they're doing it.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, if you don't know that they're doing it, that's one thing. But if you know that someone is trying to use you or take advantage of you, how is that possibly taking advantage? That's you giving it over.
That is. You gave
your
power.
Think about Christ when he stood before the judges, you know, the different courts, the day that he was going from court to court, you know, when before he went to the cross. He didn't say a word. Yes. Could he have stopped that whole thing? Absolutely.
Yeah. But the night
but
before.
But he remained meek.
Yeah, he did. And he said, not my will, but yours. And that's what we
absolutely
all have to say. This is not our will. We're doing the will of God, which means that we have to let Christ be seen within us.
Right.
If we come in contact with someone, they have to see that light so they're drawn to it.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I want people to grasp today is that there's so much more power in the light than in the darkness. There's so much more power in that. And you are so much more free in the light than in the darkness. Darkness can confound you. It keeps you bound. You know, if you hold on to anger, it just hurts you. You hold on to unforgiveness. Forgiving someone is not about them, it's about you.
Exactly.
A lot of times people feel, oh, I can't forgive. I'm not, you know, I can't forgive me. I'm not ready yet. You're not. That means that that's because you want to be angry. You want to be hurt. You want to. You want to be able to tell other people, look what someone has done to me. You want to hold on to that, and you also want to hold on to the fear of it all.
Yeah.
You want that. Okay. But, you don't want to let it go because you're afraid to let it go. And I can tell you, I used to live my life for many, many years as a very depressed person. And I can tell you that you can get caught up living that way to the point where you don't even know what it's like to live the other way, and then you have fear about that. Oh, well, if I let go of all my hurt, who would I be? If I let go of my pain, who would I be?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny. It reminds me of, I'm a Star Trek girl.
Okay, I'm a Trekkie too. Go ahead.
Okay. So if you think about Star Trek that came on television back in the day, and there was an episode where they thought that this entity that they came in contact with was God. And what would happen is that he would speak to them and tell them, give me your fear. And then they would get over their fear, and suddenly they were light and they were happy and they didn't have worry and, you know, all this stuff. And
right.
So when it came time for Captain Kirk, and they asked, he asked to give over his fear, he says, no, I need my fear in order to be who I am. I want people to understand that that is the fallacy of life.
Right. And we wear it like a badge.
We don't need fear. Okay? We've had experiences that we can learn from.
Mm-hmm.
But you can keep the experience without keeping the pain. You can keep the experience without keeping the hurt. You can keep the experience without keeping yourself feeling like that little individual that you were when you were there. What is the point in keeping the experience if you're not going to grow past it and be powerful?
Right.
Well, when I revisit a difficult time in my life, I want to revisit it as a person who has overcome it, not as a person who's still living in it.
No. You know, I just told someone today, you know, that God will make you repeat a grade if you don't learn
these
lessons. He will make you, you know, you might stay in eighth grade for like ever and ever, ever.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Because he didn't even give us that spirit. It is written that he did not, he did not give you the spirit of fear. So
that's right. But listen to the other part of that. I give you the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind. Love is a spirit. Love is a spirit. And we do not recognize that. We only think of it as an emotion. But it is a spirit. And it is underutilized in the life of Christianity. You need to take on love. If you take on... Let me tell you the truth is that you can never fully take on the spirit of power without taking on love with it.
Right.
They go hand in hand.
Yeah.
And the more love that you can carry with you, the more power you can have.
Absolutely.
See,
and
evil...
Go ahead. No, you're on fire. I'm on fire. You're on fire. Call the fire department. But what I was just going to say was that, you know, if you, he said that I'm happy to give you the keys to the kingdom. That is the most strong feeling in the world to have the king to the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And he said, I'm pleased to do this. But Jesus also said, Christ said, cast your cares on me for I care for you.
Yeah.
So they're making it so incredibly easy for you to live a life of abundancy now. Now.
Yes.
Today.
Yes, now.
Now.
Yes, now.
We don't have to.
Now,
have
not
to
when you die.
Over,
now.
Right. Not over yonder.
Yes.
We're not over yonder.
Yes.
We're now.
Yes.
So now, God.
Yes.
Oh. Yes, absolutely. Continue.
Yes.
My sister. Continue.
You know, we are so deathly afraid. Evil is of love and compassion. Evil is afraid of it. There are certain things that Satan just doesn't even come up against. There are certain things that certain evil spirits are just going to run away from.
Mm-hmm.
You see, when we talk about the angels that God has sent to protect us, we're talking about spiritual beings, spiritual entities. But love is a spirit in itself. And the thing that we don't understand is that when we take on love, it dispels a lot of other stuff. Stuff can't just get to you when you take on the stuff that God gives you.
Right.
You see, what keeps us protected is when we choose to walk in the light. But you can't walk in the light if you have anger. If you can't walk in the light if you're going to be unforgiving. You can't walk in the light if you're going to decide you're going to remain in fear. Look, I'm not saying that you are completely cast out, but I really would like to walk deep in the light. I don't want to walk around the edges of the light.
Right.
You know, when I have an umbrella, I don't want to be under the center of the umbrella. I don't want to be the one that's stuck on the edges with my arm out. And
amen.
This is what I'm talking about. There are so many Christians that are on the outside of the umbrella that if they would just learn to love a little bit more, if they would just learn to trust God a little bit more, they would just say to themselves, you know what, I really believe God at His Word. I believe God at His Word. And therefore, that's just the direction that I'm going to go. I'm not going to have doubt. I'm not going to have fear. I'm not going to have any of those other kind of thoughts. I'm not going to do anything to try to manipulate my way. I'm going to let God have His way. You know, when we try to control situations and circumstances, we start moving in what God considers to be witchcraft. And that is a dark art. You will
Very
not
dark.
Win.
No.
You will not win in that. You just won't win in that. So we need to just be very careful. You know, we need to start trusting more.
Yeah.
We need to start believing more.
And yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, there's the whole point. You know, here and you brought this up about us being a beacon of light.
Right.
You know, all of the miracles that Christ performed, He didn't perform on people who said, oh, I believe in your words. Remember, when He was walking around preaching, He wasn't preaching Himself as Savior.
No. He was preaching the Old Testament,
and He was saying, listen, let me explain to you what God really meant in these words. That's what He was preaching. And the the truth of those words penetrated into the spirit of people, and they were like, oh, wait a minute, that's true. Sometimes, you know, when you're in church or you're listening to a word and it just hits your spirit and you don't even know why you know it's true, you just know it's true.
You don't even have to go
look it up. You don't need to study it. You don't need to do nothing. You know that it's true because your spirit recognizes the truth.
Right.
And this was the same with those folks there. They recognized the truth. They knew it was the truth, and they said, okay, you know what? I'm listening to him because he's telling me the truth.
Exactly.
I'm believing that.
And as soon as you got to that point, he made it very clear that I did not come, you know, when we're talking about, you know, churchy people and people who are very judgmental and self-righteous and all of this stuff, he said, I came for those who don't know about me.
That's right.
I did not come for those who know about me. If you know about me, then there should be no more conversation needed if you truly know me.
Right.
So you have to go and look at some people who and let your beacon shine.
Also, he didn't come for those people, and he didn't come for those people whose minds are already made up.
Right. Right.
Right? If your mind is already made up on what's right and wrong, this message is not for you.
It's not.
It's just not. And I'm okay with that. But for those of you who you feel this in your spirit, it's hitting you in a place, this message is directly for you. It is to set you free.
Yes.
it is to set you free, because God has been speaking to you already and telling you already. But you know what happens a lot of times with us is that you go through that period where everything or many of the things and people around you are saying something contrary to what you feel to be true. But you don't hear anyone else saying what you're saying, so you think that you might be wrong. God is saying to you, and I'm talking to someone right now.
I know you are.
This word is for you. What I've been talking to you, and this is true. And I need you to carry this mantle, because there are people around you who need to be freed from religion.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean to talk against religion so much, but the truth is that it is causing Christians to be bound.
Yeah.
And God wants us to be free, and he wants us to come to him freely. And if anyone should ever have any challenges with things that I say, don't come to me. Go to the Father, because he told me to say it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And you'll know if this word is for you. Like you said, if your mind is already made up, then this is not the word.
It's not for you.
It's not for you.
You know, but there are some people, Sushi, who are going to be listening to this, maybe even listening now, who are contemplating an alternative way of ministry. And mm-hmm. they're struggling because they know that, I shouldn't say they know, but they feel that a lot of people around them are not going to accept it. And I just want them to be encouraged and know, let God worry about those people.
Exactly.
Just do what God tells you to do, and they will either come along with you or they won't. But it's okay either way. God's got it.
Yeah. God's got you. When I started this ministry, when I founded this ministry, there is a whole bunch of people who just can't deal with it. It's not for them. They don't think it's a real ministry. They just think I'm on Facebook playing around or something like that. You know, and so, but Christ said a prophet doesn't have any honor in his own home. So he's letting you know, even people didn't believe me.
Right.
And
The Bible tells you that when he went back home, he couldn't perform very many miracles there.
No.
Because they
viewed
him and they said, "Yo, he's the carpenter's son. That's Joseph's kid."
Yeah. Exactly. So that's very key. Before you just stop for a moment and think about the things that are being said. Definitely listen to this over again, because you're really touching on some very important things, and it's uncomfortable, but change is uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Change is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It really is, but you know what? The truth is that it's not until you get into the other side that you'll breathe freely.
Oh, right. Absolutely.
You know, when you get to the other side, you'll be able to breathe freely, and you'll recognize that you did the right thing. So do it, and do it afraid if you have to. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But just follow what you believe that God is telling you to do. And the truth of the matter is that if you allow God to be in control, don't worry about any, wrong turns you might make. God uses all of that stuff. We're not going to be right in everything.
No.
But God uses all that stuff to guide you, to teach you, to help you, and you will get where you're supposed to be. I also don't believe in getting somewhere too late. Because God has a way of quickening things so that, he moves you so that you end up in the place right where you're supposed to be at the right time.
Regardless of what you've done to interrupt the process.
Absolutely. No matter what.
Because
we have to remember, he's not in time.
No. He's in spirit.
He's in eternity. That's right. He's not in time. He gave us time. But we are not, he's not in time.
No.
I had that experience when I first came to accept my call publicly. I'm going to say it like that. You know what that means, right?
Yeah, I do, exactly.
And after I accepted my call publicly, there was a waiting period before I was licensed.
Mm-hmm.
But once I got licensed, my pastor said to me, "My goodness, it seems like God is just moving you so quickly, because I don't know where he's trying to get you." He wasn't trying to get me anywhere other than caught up.
Yes.
I didn't have a destination to get somewhere other than to get caught up. So he started just filling me with all of this word you know, and all of these teachings that really made people say, really? You know, like, and where did you come from?
Right.
And it was happening so quickly, and I was feeling it so strongly and so passionately. There were times when I would speak, and I couldn't help but speak. You know, it was almost like it would kill me not to.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, that's just how God was. He was just moving with me. But it was because he was trying to get me to this place so that when it came time for me to meet you, I would be ready.
Exactly. This was you not know, my thing.
You know, it's like you don't have to, don't worry about whatever it is you think that you missed. God always has your blessing right there. Your stuff is for you.
Yeah, it's something. A little
your stuff is for you.
Yes. And he loves
you. People talk about his blessings, and I don't really like that. You know, you can't miss God. You may miss him in the time, a time that you could have had him. But you have to be in the right place because God doesn't give you things temporarily. He gives you things permanently.
Right.
And so if you're not in the right level of maturity, if you're not in the right place, he's not going to let you have it yet. But as soon as you get there, not only are you going to get what you're supposed to get when you get there, but you're going to get all the things that you missed.
Right. Exactly. It's like
so you're
bonanza.
Not
going to
miss anything.
This is the best Powerball you can ever play.
Absolutely.
Keep your Powerball. I got the keys to the kingdom. Christ, when he was here, preached about the kingdom, and it's so interesting you saying that because Elder Faye is going to be working on a Bible study about what he preached. He preached the kingdom. He didn't preach himself.
He really did not.
No, he preached about the coming of the kingdom.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The kingdom is among us. It's here.
The kingdom is at hand. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. The kingdom of God is at hand.
Yeah.
You know, now, I was going to say this before. I want to make sure that people get this. So the point of, you know, I'm encouraging people to, you know, pick up these precepts, these teachings that you learn, and go ahead and live them, right? Because the banner for Christianity is the life that you live.
Mm-hmm.
That is the life that people will see. There are many people that go to church all the time but don't see the light that they need. You know, some people are looking for a particular light, and maybe it's just that there are not the right situations in church that's going to allow them to see that light. It might be a situation that they need to see happening in the office at work. They need to, maybe somebody needs to be encouraged to have more compassion at work by seeing someone else have more compassion. You know, maybe they don't need to see it in the church. You expect to see it in the church, but somebody needs to see it outside the church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maybe, you know, somebody needs to see something because they've never seen it demonstrated before.
Right.
Maybe an unbeliever or someone who's never, they had a bad experience in church and they say, you know, I'm never going back to church again. But they see you do something or you say something, your light just lights up and shines before them. And so suddenly now their heart has now is softened. It's no longer hard, and it's not a stony place anymore, and now they're going to go ahead and do what they need to do in order to get in right relationship with God. Our lives are about the draw of the people because of the Holy Spirit that is alive and at work in us.
So
if the Holy Spirit is not alive and at work with you, how are you going to draw anybody?
No, you're not, because you're not.
You're not
going to
draw anybody.
Discuss this, people have to realize those who are in the ministry or evangelists or even if you're just a believer, you have to remember that, wasn't meant to be said right now. Go ahead. that thought just skipped my brain so fast. It was like, bye.
Okay. That is so funny. You're funny.
Oh, I know. Well, yeah. Sorry, phrase it. He said, if my name, Christ said, if my name be lifted up, I would draw men unto myself. And people forget
yes.
that. It's not the minister. It's not the congregation. It's not the ladies' board.
No.
It's not any, that is not what draws you. What draws you is Christ is letting the beacon shine within someone. And he's drawing
yes.
you unto him through that person.
Yes. Yes.
That's
yes.
how it works.
Yes.
That's how it works. And you can do that standing in the middle of Walmart. And you, you can do it in the middle of Walmart. You know how you pass someone and they just start telling you everything about them? It's like, okay.
Right. You just, I mean, really.
Yeah, exactly. They
really?
See the Christ in you.
Absolutely. And the thing is that what they see is what they need at the moment that they need it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God is real.
Mm-hmm.
God is everywhere. God is in every situation. God is calling people to him. He is trying to be in relationship with him. And if you only give him a half a milliliter in your heart, then that's where he's going to start operating in, and he's going to call the light right to that place. Let me tell you, he's the best marksman that I know. He's going to penetrate right where we allow him to penetrate. And so when you feel compelled that you need to you know, be kind. Just
mm-hmm.
be kind. Stop worrying about who's going to get over or people thinking that you're a get over. Who are these people?
Mm-hmm.
What
exactly.
do you know who these people are?
Yeah.
I mean, if they're watching you, they should be seeing you being good.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's going to draw them to the light.
Yes.
Bring
yes.
them to the light. Bring
yes.
people over to the light, you know?
Mm-hmm.
God shared with me earlier this year, I think I said it on one of the other shows, you know, I think about, you know, there are a lot of, you know, corner evangelists, right? People who are on the corners and they're preaching and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I have
mm-hmm.
to tell you that a lot of times when I hear these people, I would say all the time, truthfully, but I won't go there, but I'll say a lot of times, they're preaching with such anger and hostility.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder who beat them up. I do. You know, there's this one person who's been, you know, he's been preaching on a corner in Philadelphia, particular corner, for years now. He's there like every day. And
we have
he
one
preaches
on State Street.
So angry. And
yeah.
he talks about, you know, all the things that are wrong, you know, like, you know, fornication and,
yes.
you know, living unholy and
yes.
all this stuff. Now,
yes.
here's my question. Let me tell you, I want to know how many people actually have stopped to have a conversation with him and got saved.
Right, exactly.
You know, why are you so angry? Do I have to be angry to be a Christian?
No.
Does anyone feel compelled or drawn to that? The truth is that I hear a lot of people mocking him.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. Because
mm-hmm.
there's something not right in the spirit with that. You don't need
right.
to be angry.
It's not the word of God. It's not the way of God. It's not.
No.
That doesn't even exist in him. It's like.
No. Jesus, said, Jesus didn't judge people.
No.
That's the reason why he hung out with who he hung out with.
Yeah. And got ridiculed for it.
Oh, he definitely did.
You know, and
they
were
said,
like,
those are the people he came for.
Right.
Again, he doesn't need to come for the people with the made-up mind.
No.
He's not trying to convince you of anything.
No. No.
He's literally just sharing his knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something else that God told me earlier this year that I believe that I shared is that guilt is a useless emotion to him.
He didn't give us that either.
A lot of people think that, well, if I make you feel guilty, if I make you feel bad about what you've done or what you're thinking or whatever you're planning to do, you know, because whether it's the present, the future, or the past, you ought to be ashamed, right?
Mm.
So a lot of people feel that if I make you feel bad about that, you'll be compelled to come to Christ. That's what stops most people, because they're
yeah.
ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
It stops most people. But, my God, imagine delivering a message to someone. God doesn't want you to be ashamed. First of all, he knows everything about you, and he wants you anyway, just the way you are.
Just it.
How many times do you hear people say, oh, I need to get my life right, and then I can go to church? How can you make your life right?
No.
God wants you to come just as you are. And as a matter of fact, you're not as broken as you think you are.
Right.
You're not as messed up as you think you are.
I always wonder, on top of that, don't you think he knows this already? I mean, he is God.
He knows it all. He knows your thoughts. He knows everything. Yeah. He knows it already. And I'll tell you what else. As the Bible shows us, he uses you as you are. You know, one of the things, you know, I think I mentioned this before, that really kind of blows my mind is when people might, I'm not talking about, you know, horrible injustices, but people, you know, do something wrong, you know, that's not quite right, and suddenly if you're in church, they want to sit you down. Oh, you can't usher anymore because you wore your skirt too short last Friday. You know, like stupidness. You know what I'm saying? God used people that were no good people.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say that, I mean from the stance of they were not perfect.
No, not in the
least. We are not perfect people. We do things that are not necessarily right. We say stupid things. We do stupid things. We believe dumb things. Stuff happens. But God says, you know what? In the place in which I can use you, I'm going to use you. And I'm not going to pay attention to that because that's going to be corrected. I'm not worried about all that wrong stuff. I'm looking for the place where I can get involved in your life, because the truth is, when you recognize how much I love you, when you see how much I can use you and how much greater you can be, it's going to compel you to turn away from the darkness. But they'll never turn away from the darkness if they don't have a reason to.
Amen. Amen.
You know, for some people, darkness is fun. That's just the truth of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're having fun in the dark.
Yeah. And there's nothing you can say or do, or it's the made-up mind.
Right. But imagine if they found out how much fun they could have in a life.
It is
imagine
a ball, isn't it?
Imagine if the light was in color and instead of black and white.
Exactly.
You know,
okay?
Black and white,
that darkness. Exactly.
We make the light seem like it's brown.
There's a rainbow. It's a rainbow, okay? A rainbow of colors that makes up the premise of a light. You know how many colors we have to pick together to get white light?
Oh, my God. I mean, seriously. And it's just amazing how we do that. We make it seem like, we also make it seem like there's only certain kind of fun you can have in the life.
Right.
That's
right.
Also untrue. I mean,
you can
imagine, you know, when if you could paint the picture of a life where you don't have to worry, because even in the midst of the greatest, the things that happen, God has it. He has it under control. You don't have to figure out the answer. You just have to walk into it.
Right.
You know? You don't have to figure out the answer. You just have to walk into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have a worry, you could take it to the one that's greater than all things.
They talk that. Yes. Amen.
You know, I mean, seriously, you know, I just wish people would take a look at themselves and really recognize their value. God says, I value you. You have great worth. There's nothing wrong with you. It's okay that you've done some things that are wrong. It's okay. I'm not worried about that, because I know who I made you to be. And not only that, I'm going to take this personality that you have, and I'm going to take this love for whatever it is that you have, and I'm going to use it in the kingdom. If you take a look at the life of the disciples, he took all of that, and he used it in the kingdom. Think about Paul. Oh, my gosh.
And Peter was a swear.
Peter was a cussing
soul. He was cussing and fighting and stuff, and Jesus was like, Peter, stop it.
He was like a road warrior.
Exactly. Peter, would you please stop it, okay? He was so out. You didn't cut off the man's ear.
Wait, he cut off the man's ear. Jesus goes and heals him.
Exactly. Peter, stop doing that.
talk about one of the greatest examples of showing love and compassion to other people. Here's this Roman soldier who comes to arrest him, and he knows that this means that he's going to be dying very soon on a cross, a very painful, ugly death. He knows this. And what does he do? He heals his ear. He puts his ear back on his head.
Yes. And teaches Peter a lesson. At the same time, teaches him a lesson. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. The darkness. If you live in the darkness, you will produce darkness. If you live in the light, you will produce light. And a lot of people wondering why they're so stuck. It's because you're not living and following the light. You need to follow Christ. Follow Christ.
Right.
Give it all.
Right.
Give everything up and follow
everything.
Me. You can tell them, just give everything up and come follow me. Everything.
Everything.
You know, and when he puts a dream in you, no matter how many no's you hear, you only have to hear one yes from God, right?
Right.
That's it.
Absolutely.
So who are these critics that you're worrying about? That's what Minister Kimberly is trying to tell everyone. Why are you worrying about other people when
right.
the Creator himself says, I love you just the way you are, but you know why? Because I made you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. How wonderful.
I just want to say one other thing before we close, because it's something that people who join the church sometimes don't recognize. And living in the light, I want people to understand, does not guarantee rightness. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you are going to be right all the time, and it doesn't mean that you're any more right than anyone else. And it does not mean that you're never going to have sadness or disappointments in life. Those things are a part of the human experience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But living as light guarantees that, you know, if you can put your trust and your reliance in God, that he's going to make a way for you. He's
right.
going to make a way for you. You know, we have difficulty understanding that we cannot earn God's protection, his love, his blessings. We can't earn it. But the reason why we can't earn it is because it's freely given, and all we have to do is receive it.
Yes.
We will never be worthy enough to earn it. Stop trying to earn it and just receive it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try. You don't have to worry about trying to live right as hard as you do, because you can't live right without him. Therefore, you just have to receive it.
And God said that we're nothing more than filthy, dirty rags. But I love you anyway.
Yes. Isn't that amazing?
Isn't that amazing? I love you anyway. And so when people come to you and try to make you feel guilty or try to make you feel unwanted, it's like, wait a minute. My Father in heaven doesn't even look at me that way.
That's right.
How dare you?
Absolutely.
Who are you? Who are you?
Absolutely.
So,
who are you?
Yeah. Oh, wow. I got on early for a reason. It was. My spirit was like, forget the announcements, forget everything, go right into the Word. And I'm glad I did, because this has been truly inspirational. And I want the dialogue to go on about this. If you want to talk about this on any side of the fence, it doesn't matter. If you want to continue to talk about this, this is what Minister Kimberly Horvath is here for, you know. But amen. Okay, so if anyone wants to get in contact with you, give them the addresses.
You know, when I'm so high up, I don't even know.
Okay, I get it.
Wait a minute. Could you please
give it to her? K. Horvath. That's HORVATH. At JourneyHomeMinistries.org. that
Amen.
Is that, and
hallelujah,
you'll find,
for the new email address.
Yes, a new email address. You can address all things to her. And, of course, I'm Sister Poochie at JourneyHomeOutreachMinistries.org. Our new website is www.JourneyHomeMinistries.org. I want everyone to go. And really, I encourage those who are listening now and those who are going to listen later to listen to this more than once.
Yes. Yeah, and also for those of you who want some daily inspiration, you know, Sister Poochie is very good about going on to the Ignite the Spirit Facebook page and putting something out there. I go out there a few times a week and put something out there, just a quick word to encourage you for the day. So if you're interested in receiving something positive, please join us on Ignite the Spirit on Facebook.
Yes. Absolutely, and I'm going to continue. You can let if you're one of my friends, just let me know. Put me in. I'm trying to put everybody in the group because it's needed. Because in this world, you need to have a word handy.
Yeah,
you really
that's
do.
True.
You need to have a word handy, or you need to have something motivational. You know, something that's pushing you toward your dreams and your goals. And
that's true. Yeah.
You know, he put something in all of us to do. We all have a role. We all have a role to play in this world. And he just wants to show you what that role is. And that is a lot of, if people haven't seen the Ignite the Spirit things, that Minister Kim really helps you to organize and deal with the word in the world.
Yeah.
Life coaching, Christian life coaching, so important. Well,
it is.
This has been just breathtaking, and I thank you so much.
Praise
God, and I look forward to
God.
your next segment, which will be. Let me give that out before we go, because I just don't want to forget. Can you believe we're in September already?
It's amazing, right?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
September the 14th will be the next segment for Minister Horvath with her life coaching. And at the time, we will definitely talk more about what God has been speaking to you.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. All right. Ooh, you got anything else? I'm on fire. I'm like, okay. What?
I think I'm... if there is anybody in the New Jersey, Pennsylvania area, I am doing an Ignite the Spirit retreat September 20th, or whatever that weekend is, September 20th or 22nd, something like that, that weekend for 2 days. And it's in Greenville, Pennsylvania at the Blue Mountain Retreat Center. You can check out Facebook or contact me and I'll give you more information.
Yeah, K.H. Horvath, H-O-R-V-A-T-H, at JourneyHomeMinistries.org. And we're going to let you go. And this word has been so powerful, Kim, that we're not going to even do the dance break. We're just going to do How Great Thou Art, because we need to marinate in this.
Praise God.
Praise
God. Let God have his way, right?
Yes, let him have his way. Okay. And so, peace and blessings to you, my sister. And I'll talk to you next month.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
That was a wonderful, wonderful dialogue having with my sister in Christ. Please go back and listen to this. If you have any questions, concerns, you can hit her up on her email, which has given out, or you can do Sister Poochie at JourneyHomeMinistries.org. Okay, next week will be the House of Inspiration with DJ Frankie Vibe. And then I have a very special guest that I will be announcing as an interview for, I didn't say January, did I? August. August the 17th is DJ Frankie Vibe. August the 24th is the very special guest that we will be broadcasting to. And August the 31st will be Y4C Youth for Christ taking over the studio. Everyone, think about what was said, meditate on it, pray on it, and we're going to close the show like we always do with How Great Thou Art. No dance week this week, just the word.
Thank you.